sit back, relax, and open that mind. You are now tuned in to the Paranormal Patriot.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to this week's episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez, always your host and always your gracious host. We are recording live from the safety of my basement, safe from those who do not know their history and think by changing it will change history as a whole. We as a nation, as we stand right now, are doomed to repeat what happened before, because I've said it numerous times on this show. Those who deny and disregard their history are doomed to repeat it. I didn't originally say that. I believe it was Winston Churchill, but I firmly believe that. We're going to jump right into the show, and I'm just going to start by giving you some news from the last 2 weeks or so that you may or may not have heard. And even if you have heard this news, you haven't heard my opinion on it. But we're going to start. We're going to start with this. We're going to start with my feeling is I'd never, ever thought the political correctness in this country could get any worse than it was last week. But lo and behold, I was wrong. Last week, we had people demanding Paw Patrol be removed because Paw Patrol had a cartoon puppy that was a police officer. We have Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam. Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam of Looney Tunes cartoons were removed of their guns. The political correctness in this country I didn't think could get any worse until this week comes around and I find out that Aunt Jemima, Mrs. Buttersworth, Uncle Ben's, then we have the Quaker Oats guy. They are all being re-imaged because of the racial sensitivities of these country or companies. I am absolutely fed up with this. And, you know, if you talk like I'm talking now, if you were in a public setting like I am, I hope I don't have to ever have aspirations of running for president because this will just derail those right now, what I'm about to say. But the thing is, you can't talk about your feelings right now if you're unless you side with the side of Black Lives Matter. If you have any other feelings other than Black Lives Matter, you are considered a racist. You are considered so out of touch, you're not woke. And it is infuriating. Black lives do matter. But you know what? Everybody else's lives matter. I keep saying that, but people keep coming at me like, you don't know what it's like to be looked down upon because your skin color. And, you know, I had a former guy I used to work with, a former coworker I used to work with. We were talking about this, and he made a good point. I know exactly what it's like to be persecuted because of my skin color. My skin color is, I guess, what you'd call olive. I'm not Mexican. I'm not Hispanic. I am Mediterranean. My grandfather came straight from Greece in 1905. With that being said, most of my features bear a strong Greek resemblance. If I had hair, I'd have black hair. I've got the big Greek nose. and my skin tone is an olive color skin, almost Arab looking. I have been persecuted because of my skin color. I've told you the story in the past of when I used to be working selling digital imagers, went into the state building and was denied entrance due to the fact that on that day, the country was on high alert because it was shortly after 9/11. So I do get this. I do. But you know what? I didn't go out and protest. I didn't go out and burn shit and then deface monuments and tear down statues. I just said, okay, whatever. I know it's going to pass. It happens. The difference between me and these idiots rioting right now is, you know what I did? I understood that that federal officer in the federal building in Saginaw, Michigan was doing his job. I didn't get up in his face and call him racist. I just simply said, all right, I'll come back later. And he was fine. And that is a great life lesson because, listen, I mentioned it last show and someone took offense to it. I said, look, if you get pulled over by the cops, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, sir. Or thank you, ma'am, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yeah, thank you, ma'am. They're not going to bother you. If you didn't do anything wrong, they're going to let you go. If you're being suspicious, they may detain you. I had a listener who said, that's not true, Tom. They will plant drugs. They will plant a crime on you. They may even plant a gun and charge you with murder. Okay, first off, we're not watching the ID channel here. That happens very, very rarely. Am I going to say it doesn't happen? Absolutely not, because it does. The odds of it happening to you are slim to none. Just comply with the officer. First off, don't break the law. And you won't have a problem. If the officer pulls you over, comply. That's simple. But for a lot of us, and this is due to social media, for a lot of us that are listening to this show, they are going to take offense that an officer even pulled them over. Let me give you an example of what happened to me. Right when my wife was diagnosed with cancer, she was miserable. She had a tumor that was blocking the passage of food. So every time she ate anything, it would get stuck there and it would be like she was giving birth. She was in an extreme amount of pain. So I went in my car with my daughter and drove down the road to my neighbor's house because my neighbor is a nurse and she had some medicine that she said, hey, this will help her out. Come get it. It will at least help her sleep. So I'm driving down the road and a Michigan State Police car drives by me. Well, it just so happens, just as he drives by me, I had to turn down a road to get to our neighbor's house. Well, as I look in the rearview mirror, because that's just what I do, I get freaked out just because, hey, you know, I hope I'm not doing anything wrong. He turns around, does a quick U-turn in the road. And I'm like, oh, God, what? Do I have a headlight out? What's going on? So I pull into the neighbor's driveway because it's right down the street. I pull in hoping that he's just driving by. He pulls in right behind me with the sirens on, or the flashers. He didn't have the sirens, but the flashers were on. And he comes out, and I lower the window. Hello, officer. What can I do for you? Sir, did you realize that your license plate I can't even read? No, I didn't realize that. I never look at my license plate, to be honest with you. So I start to get out, and he puts his hand on the door and says, do not get out of the car. And this was shortly after, a little bit after, all the original police protests where the five Dallas officers were shot. So these officers, understandably, were on edge. I'm like, I'm sorry, I just didn't know if I should go look at it with you. He says, take my word for it. He says, what are you doing? I said, well, this is our friend. It's a neighbor of ours. I live just up the road, about 3-4 blocks away, and we're picking up something from my neighbor's house for my wife. And then he looks in and sees my, at the time, 16-year-old daughter, and says, who's that? Okay, first off, that was a little bit of a weird question to me at the time, and I'm like, oh, that's my daughter? He says, does she have ID? And I said, no, she must have been 15 at the time because she didn't have a driver's license. I said, no, she doesn't have a driver's license. She's 15. He looks over. Miss, is this your father? And my daughter looks at him funny and says, yeah. Okay. So the officer at that point says, all right, sorry to bother you, but you need to take care of that license plate because everybody, every cop that gets behind you is going to be pulled over. Okay, thank you for letting me know. He wished me a great day and drove off. Well, after he drove off, I got out of the car and walked around to the back of my car and looked at my license plate, and sure as it is, you couldn't see it. All of the Michigan, now Michigan license plate has some white and a little, well, the one I had the Mackinac Bridge with the sunrise, and then the letters and numbers are blue. All of those letters and numbers had delaminated, so all you saw was bare metal. Just the fact that they were lifted up a little to form the letters and numbers is what you saw. How he saw that, I don't know. But as I'm driving home, after getting the medicine, as I'm driving home, I realized why this officer pulled me over. Because he saw an older man with a very, very young girl. And as that officer drove by me, my car did a quick right turn. It looked suspicious. Unfortunately, in Shiawassee County, we have a huge child trafficking problem. I believe that that officer was out looking to make sure that I wasn't trafficking that child or I wasn't doing anything illegal. The point of this whole thing is I was cordial. I was respectful. And once he realized that there was nothing going on, it was just a simple mistake, he was fine. Wished me a great day. I have no ill will towards that guy because if for any reason my daughter was in trouble, she was somewhere where she didn't want to be and she was with a stranger that had bad thoughts in his head with her, I would have been so grateful for the fact that he just randomly pulled that car over. Yes, he used my license plate as an excuse. That's not against the law. If I had a headlight out, pull me over. Taillight out, pull me over. Gives him a right. Once he realized that this is all legit, he's fine. I complied with the officer. I didn't get in the officer's face. I didn't tell him, hey, what are you pulling me over for? This is bullshit. I was fine. And once he realized that everything's on the up and up, he was fine. It's a beautiful thing. It works 99.99% of the time. But we're going to take that 0.01% of the time that it doesn't work like that and change the whole way we do things here in America. Remember, and I can't remember if I mentioned this last show or not, but I'll mention it again. Remember when 9/11 came around and the planes flew into the building, the Pentagon, and in Shanksburg, Pennsylvania? The Democrats came out and said, you can't judge all Muslims by the actions of a few. Well, I would like you Democrats, you liberals, you socialists, you Antifa jackasses, and everyone else who wants to bash the police to remember that, because I guarantee you, I heard it all the time, you can't judge the actions of a few against the actions of all. You know what? You're right. We can't take the actions of a few people and just congregate that whole segment of the population as being part of that problem. We can't do it. But yet, here in America, we are, because of the media and because of the Democrats. The Democrats wanted to fund and eliminate police forces across this country because of the actions of a few. The same Democrats that told us, hey, you can't judge all Arabs by the actions of these guys. Well, as Republicans and conservatives and people who have a right mind, people who are not as crazy as bat soup, then we need to stand up and say the same thing. Don't judge the actions of the rest of these cops due to the actions of these bad cops. But yet we are. But then it goes much, much farther than that. Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben's, Mrs. Butterworth, the Quaker Oats guy, all of these companies are now folding to the pressure. I honestly don't know a company that has stood up and said, hey, we understand what's going on out in the world and in the country today. However, we do think that all lives matter. It's not just black lives. All lives matter. Because everybody in some way, shape, or form is persecuted. You may be bullied. You may lose that chance to go to the college of your dreams because of your skin color, aka you're white. You may lose that promotion because we have to have diversity in the workplace, aka you're white, the person's black. Don't tell me that there is white privilege. Maybe back in the day. I don't know. This is all new to me. I grew up, I didn't look at skin color. I really, truly didn't. As I said, I grew up in a white suburban utopia. I was middle class, maybe higher middle class. I went to a great school. We lived in a great neighborhood. I had a ton of friends. In my high school, Saginaw Township is surrounded by the city of Saginaw to the east side. In Heritage High School, where I graduated in Saginaw Township, they would take the kids that were expelled from Arthur Hill and Saginaw High and move them over to Heritage High. And listen, most of the kids in Saginaw High and at Arthur Hill were black kids. Every single black person, every single black student in that class, I was friends with. A, because I loved rap and I loved Prince, so they could relate. We could talk about it, because at the time, I was kind of an outcast in my high school because everybody was into the goth stuff. You know, the goth, the Cure. They were into Metallica. They were into the heavy metal. Not a lot of people I hung out with were into Prince and rap. I was. That's just how I rolled. And I had something in common with all these black students, and I hung out with them all the time. Yes, I had a ton of white friends, but that doesn't matter. The thing is, I didn't see color. I looked at you as how you were to a person, how you treated me. And that has extended into my, well, let's call it late adult years. We're not going to go middle age yet. I don't think I'm there yet, but my adult years, where I don't look at you as what color you are. I will treat you with respect until you do not treat me with respect. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you, if you don't respect me, there is no way in God's green earth I'm going to respect you. It's a two-way street. And I've had a lot of people come at me. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I look like an Arab. I look like a Muslim. I do. It's the Greek in me. So where I used to work at the dealership, I would have people come in and give me grief because of how I looked. And they would have attitude. I wouldn't give them attitude back right away. And I wanted to see, hey, let's see if I can warm this person up. The majority of the people, if you're kind to them, you respect them, they come around. You're going to have some that just don't do it. And it's not just white. It's white, black, Mexican, Indian, Chinese, Asian, whatever you want to call it. There are some people that are just so stuck in their ways that they're not going to come around. They're just racist, hateful people. You know what? I choose not to deal with them. So I don't even know how I got to this segment of the show, but let's back it up. Let's talk about the Quaker Oats, Mrs. Butterworth, Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben's. These have been staples in the American experience. Let's talk Aunt Jemima. 130 years since 1890, Aunt Jemima has been an American staple. It is America. For 130 years, there has been no problem with this beautiful black woman that could be anyone's grandma. There has never been a problem until this instance in time where we have to eliminate every ounce of history regarding our slavery and our past. Ladies and gentlemen, slavery, unfortunately, is in our history. If we forget it, if we tear down all these Confederate statues, if we eliminate these, what some people, and I'm going to tell you, it's the minority of the people, what they think is offensive. Uncle Ben's is offensive. He just looks like a slave. Aunt Jemima, she looks like a slave. No, not really, but okay. Mrs. Butterworth, she's got the apron on. She's a slave. That's offensive to me. Why? Why is it offensive? To me, it celebrates the black history. Sometimes black history is not something to celebrate. But you know what? It is their history. They went from slaves in this country to free members in a society that values ingenuity and rewards it. If you work hard, if you go to school, and if you apply yourself, you will live the American dream. It doesn't matter what race, color, creed you are, it will happen. especially in this day and age. In 2020, we are being told that we are the most racist people in the world. We are the most insensitive people in the world. It's not true. In 2020, if you're a minority, you have more chances of excelling in living your best life than you ever have in America at any time in the world. But we are letting the Democrats and the media tell you otherwise. I am getting so tired. Let me give you a quick history lesson, then we're going to move on to other news. Let me give you a quick history lesson. Who was it that freed the slaves? Abraham Lincoln. And he was a member of the Whig Party. The Whig Party is the precursor of the Republican Party. It is not the Democrats. The Democrats were the ones holding the slaves. The Democrats in the 60s were the ones that did not want anything to do with the Civil Rights Act. But yet the media and the Democrats will tell you that that's not true. That's a complete lie. Let me tell you history about how things happened after the Civil War. The Civil War ended strictly due to the fact that in the North it was industrialized, and in the South it was not. It relied on slave labor. In the North, they had railroad tracks. They had means of production. The South didn't have nearly what the North had. So when the Northern troops needed supplies, they just hopped them on that train and they moved them back and forth wherever they needed. In the South, those supplies had to be driven mostly by horse and carriage. Trains can take a hell of a lot more supplies than horse and carriage. So the South lost the war really because they did not have the necessary supplies and the necessary ammunition that they needed, where the North, if you needed supplies over here, get them on a train, go, bam, you're done. In the South, load up the cart, get what you can over to them and see how they do. So the war ended that way. Now, after the war and the slaves were free, the Southern plantation owners realized, wow, I don't have a means of production now. I'm going to have to pay people to pick my cotton, and that's going to cut into my profits. So the Democrats of the South moved up to the industrial parts of the North where they made money. Well, those in the North had already made their money prior to that due to the industrialization of the North. They moved South to enjoy the weather, to enjoy the beauty of the South. So you have the media and the Democratic Party stating that no, the Democrats of old were really the Republicans, and the Republicans were really the Democrats. It was the Republicans that wanted slavery. The Democrats today want you to believe it was their party that was trying to fight to free the slaves, to free the black anguish. They don't want you to know that in the 1960s, that same Democratic Party was against the civil rights movement. They don't want you to know that. And I get it. The media and the Democratic Party are just completely brainwashing people. But for all my black listeners, and if you are a black listener of this show, give this information to your black friends. You want to succeed. You want to excel in this country. You have to vote for the Republican Party. You know, it amazes me. I have friends and family that call Donald Trump the biggest racist that the White House has ever seen. Tell me what he's done that's ever been racist, other than reduce the black and minority unemployment to record levels, appoint record number of minority positions or people to positions in the cabinet. What did Barack Obama, the savior president, the first black president, what did he accomplish other than completely creating a race war? That's all he did. It was by design. Now, with that in mind, I want to get into some other news. I talked about that a lot longer than I thought of, but we want to talk about these idiot rioters and how they're defacing these war memorials. They're tearing down these Confederate statues. Listen, again, I'll say it again. You tearing down these Confederate statues is not changing history. You are trying to just remove that history from the history of this country. With that being said, what's eventually going to happen is they are going to omit it from the history books. They're never going to mention these people's names because they are associated with slave owners and racists. So what that does is that opens it up for history to repeat itself. And that's what's going to happen. So step one, in not knowing what the hell you're doing, you stupid rioters. These idiot rioters in Boston, and if you continue to support these people, after knowing that these people have no idea what they're doing other than causing violence and defacing and destroying public property without any clue what they're doing, then shame on you. Because these idiot rioters who were roaming through Boston, they went ahead and defaced the Shaw 54th Regiment Memorial. Now, these rioters who are protesting that Black Lives Matter have defaced and destroyed a memorial dedicated to African American soldiers who fought to end slavery in the Civil War. If that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about the audacity of this movement, I don't know what will. There is a definitive lack of history knowledge among these people. And trust me, it's media. And for those of you who are disagreeing with me saying that this is not the Democrats' plan, listen to this. Nancy Pelosi has just ordered the removal of Confederate portraits from the Capitol. So if you were a Confederate general in the Civil War, you are a huge player in American history. We are going to just erase you, eliminate you from history. It never happened. There is movement, and I think they've already done it. They've removed the statue of George Washington, the first president of the United States. He's gone. Yes, he was a slave owner. He was a part of the times. That's how things were back then. You can't deny how important George Washington was in the history of America. Now, while I'm not a big supporter of his views, Lin-Manuel Miranda produced a phenomenal Broadway play called Hamilton. And in that play, George Washington played a pivotal part. And in that play, which is pretty accurate historically, George Washington knew that not one man should have power continuously. They wanted George Washington to be king of the United States of America. And George Washington said, no, we will have a president. And our founding fathers, in their infinite wisdom, devised a constitution and a plan of checks and balances where the judicial and the executive branch was watching each other. And then it went to the president. So you could not have one form of government that just controlled everything. You had to have the checks and balances. Well, those checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen, are now being infringed upon by the left. They do not want the checks and balances because they know if they get checks and balances, nothing that they are a part of is ever going to go through. They want to ram Obamacare. They want to ram the new Green Deal down our throats, even though we don't want it. It doesn't matter to them. They want power. They want all the power. They want to tell you where to go, where you work, how much you make. If you have a good 401k or retirement plan, you don't need that. We're going to distribute that to those who need it more. If you have a beautiful house, why do you need that? We're going to move you out of there and move in a family that that needs it more than you. You don't think that's going to happen? Talk to people in Venezuela. Talk to people in communist Russia. Talk to people in Cuba, North Korea, China. That's how it works. And that is what the Democrat Party wants for this country. And we have people that are just all over it. Because those are the people that don't want to do any better. They don't want to have to work. But if you work, as it stands right now, again, if you apply yourself, if you work hard and you do the right thing, you will. You will survive and you will exceed in this country. I am a perfect example of that, and as I know many of my listeners are. It is appalling how many of the younger generation who have been indoctrinated in our school systems believe that it is up to the government to take care of us. Tell me one thing the government has ever done besides waging war that has ever worked. Here's the quick answer. Nothing. They can't do health care. They can't do regulations. They can't clean up the roads. They can't do anything within a budget. But we, as Americans, as an American family, have to. It's about high time that we make them accountable to do so. Moving on with the news. Now, with all of the COVID crisis and all of the Black Lives Matter riots and burning down of the cities, you may have missed that Hillary Clinton went to a court hearing to basically decide whether or not she needs to stand trial and basically explain her actions for her 33,000 emails that were deleted and her response to Benghazi. She was found that she needs to respond to that. So on September 9th, she has to be in a court of law explaining her actions. Now, we all know at one point in time, Hillary Clinton says, if I go down, I'm taking all of Washington with me. So on September 9th, Hillary Clinton is going to be in front of a judge either spilling the beans or lying through her teeth. Either way, it's not good for her. Now, she may impose the Fifth Amendment where she doesn't have to speak, and that is her right. But at that point, it basically confirms to everybody that she has been lying through her teeth about everything and she doesn't want to get caught. You're going to have the Democrats and you're going to have the media come out and say, and mark my words, this is my prediction, when she, because I believe she will take the Fifth. And the Democrats and the media will say, well, she can't say anything because that would expose national security risks and classified info that, you know, we just can't let out. But it's okay to let John Bolton release a book that is full of national security and classified info that shouldn't be released, but it's okay for him to do it. Now, a lot of you have emailed me and said, Tom, what do you think about this John Bolton book? Well, here's my thought. First off, the guy's a nut job. He is a freaking warmonger that the only thing he wants to do in the world is create war. Everything he does is all about let's make war, let's make more, let's make war because it makes us money. If he really had info on the president, let's just talk about this whole Ukraine thing because even the Democrats are really upset at him at this. If he really had info on the president, like he put in his book about the quid pro quo and the deals that he made with Ukraine, why wasn't he testifying during the impeachment trial? Easiest reason, easiest answer for that is because it's not true. He's selling a book. The Democrats had every opportunity to put John Bolton up on the pulpit, up on the world stage, and tell the world that Donald Trump wanted a quid pro quo during this whole Ukraine, this impeachment trial. It never happened. Why? Because there was not any proof that it happened. John Bolton didn't have any proof, but he's going to put it in his book. It's Democrat Plan 101. Now, the Trump administration has filed a lawsuit against John Bolton saying that they do not want this book released due to national security reasons. Now, I'll be honest, that looks a little fishy considering what the book contents are about. It's basically a Trump bashing book. It looks a little fishy. Just today, a federal judge has said, okay, I'm going to allow the book to be released, but he chastised John Bolton for the possibility of releasing national security secrets. Are you kidding me right now? This is just like James Comey coming out and saying, we're not going to charge Hillary Clinton with any crimes, even though she committed tons of them. We're not going to charge her. This judge is basically saying, hey, there are tons of national security secrets in this book. Shame on you for putting them in there. Let's publish it. Honestly, this is where we are in our country. This book, when it gets to Barnes & Noble and on Amazon, should be in the fiction section. Because 90% of this book, I guarantee you, is not true. This is just a cantankerous, spiteful, he's a vengeful ex-employee of Donald Trump who is out to get Donald Trump because Donald Trump had the audacity to fire him. Like Donald Trump said, and I've said this for years, if it were up to John Bolton, we'd be at war 24/7. For all of you people who said Trump is just going to put us into war, bring us into World War III, the reason he got rid of this guy is because he's a warmonger, and Trump doesn't want war. But we're going to believe everything that's in the book because the media and the Democrats say that we should and tell us to. So, you know, again, It amazes me that Trump has survived as long as he did, because every day there's relentless attacks on him. And he's Teflon Don. He's Teflon Don. Now, lastly, before the break, I want to talk to you about our governor. I didn't talk about our governor last week, and it was amazing to me. I couldn't believe it. But our governor at this moment is facing a very likely recall vote in our state of Michigan. We need 1 million votes or 1 million people to sign a petition to put a recall of our governor on the ballot. And it is going to happen. Right? The estimates are there are going to be 2 to 3 million people signing this petition. So what do you think she would say? Well, let's let the voters decide. No. If you live in the state of Michigan, or you have followed what has been going on in the state of Michigan during this whole COVID crisis, you know that's what she's not going to say. Her response was, you better be careful about trying to limit my powers and taking away my authority. I am the governor, and I will decide what is best for this state. If you don't like it, then pound sand. Now, I paraphrase that, but that's essentially what she said. Now, in true dictator form, anybody that questions her authority or threatens her power is going to be squashed, and that's essentially what she said. And that did not go well with the residents of the state of Michigan. So that was my Governor Whitmer post on this show. Couple more before I forget. Cheryl Selby, the mayor of Olympia, Washington, who supported the Black Rights Movement and said that these rioters, they have a right to express themselves, had her house vandalized. Now, thankfully, her and her family were not there, but her house was vandalized by these same rioters. And what does she do? Does she praise them for their expressionism? No. She comes out and calls them domestic terrorists, just like Trump. Oh, how things change when the shoe's on the other foot. When they're not messing with you, they're expressing their beliefs. They're expressing their pent-up anger. But when they mess with you and yours, oh, these guys are terrorists. We need to take care of them. That's where we are in America today. As long as it doesn't affect me, I'm fine with it. And lastly, regarding the Mrs. Buttersworth, the Aunt Jemima, the Uncle Ben's, the Quaker Oats guy, I have been on social media kind of saying how I feel about it. And I usually don't do that. But I had a young lady come on here, and I'm going to say a young lady because she is, I'm guessing, 18, 20, 21, 22 years old. So she's in that Antifa generation. And that's what I think I'm going to call them now. It's not Generation X. It's not Generation Y. They are the Antifa generation. And she said, regarding the Aunt Jemima re-logoing and rebranding, I support this 1,000%. I'm so sad you don't see or understand how this could be offensive to so many. When large companies like this change their ways and eliminate racial stereotypes, that's when we can move towards an anti-racist society. There is so much systematic racism that has been made part of our culture that most people don't recognize it at all, unless they are living it. I truly encourage you to do your research on Black history and educate yourself on how this and so many others are a stereotype we need to stop seeing in our everyday lives. So my first question to this person is, how many times did you go to the grocery store and pick up some Aunt Jemima pancake mix? Did you pick up some Mrs. Buttersworth syrup, or maybe some Uncle Ben's rice or some Quaker Oats oatmeal? How many times did you look at that and just put it in your cart and not even think twice about it? I guarantee you every time you bought that, you never thought twice about it until you were told by the Democrats and the media that that is racist. Now you can look at it and like, oh, it's so racist. It's been here for 130 years, but I can't stand it right now. Congratulations, you SJW Antifa jackass. You have officially been brainwashed by the media and the Democratic Party. You have let this quote-unquote systematic racism go on every day of your life without you even having a second thought about it, until the media and the Democrat Party said Aunt Jemima, Mrs. Butterworth, Uncle Ben's, the Quaker Oats guy, and Paw Patrol are racist and offensive. So now you want to jump on that bandwagon because you're so woke. You are the wokest person ever. You think you're making a change in this country? You are destroying this country. I hope you really like it, because we as conservatives, we as freedom-loving Americans, we as Americans, are not going to let it happen sitting down. You are going to have a fight on your hands. And it is up to us now, absolutely, to fight for this country. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are right there. We are a razor's edge away from losing what we once had. I don't want to be able to tell my grandkids what it was like when I grew up. How they will have no clue what it was like when you grew up. I'll tell them stories of going to the mall. I'll tell them stories of going to the park, going to the movies, of going here, going there, making money. If I work hard, I make more money. They're going to think it's a fairy tale. If we don't stand up, stand the hell up and make your voice count. And it comes this November. Listen, I'm getting worried about this election. The best thing for Joe Biden is to stay in his basement because he can't screw up, and that's what he's doing. And I'm getting really worried that in November, Joe Biden's going to be our president for about 4 to 6 months, and then you're going to have probably Kamala Harris as a president for, 16 years? Yeah, 16 years, because Joe Biden is not going to be able to make it through his first year of presidency. So the vice president will become president, and that will give her 7 years of presidency, and then she's up for re-election. How does that make you feel? Does that not put the terror of God in you? It should, because it puts the fear of God in me that this country is right there. We are right on the precipice of losing what you grew up with, what I grew up with. Our grandkids are not going to know what it was like to grow up as we did. They are not going to know the joys that we had growing up. It is up to us to give them the opportunity to be the best they can be. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a military intervention with alien greys. Was it real? Was it true? I don't know. It's up to you to decide. I will give you the news. I will give you the accounts. You decide for yourself. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. Sit back, relax, open that mind. I will be right back. I'm stuck on you. We'll make it through. And you take me, I do the actor. You like true crime? You like the supernatural? You like paranormal? Then you owe it to yourself to listen to Vanishing Gates with Jay Miles. You heard Jay Miles on this show expounding and just giving out his knowledge. Well, there's more of that and then some on his show, Vanishing Gates. Join Jay with his co-host Jack as they talk about true crime, paranormal, supernatural. They can be found on Facebook. They do Facebook Live whenever they can. Join them on Facebook. Get updates. All you need to do, and tell them I sent you, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you, go listen to Vanishing Gates with Jay Miles. Alrighty, so I've had a couple people, and I'm not going to say it's been this week or the last couple weeks, but over time, email me and message me and ask me about the Dulce Military Alien War. And I've looked into it. And honestly, I can't differentiate between whether it actually happened or it didn't. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you the account of what happened, and then you will decide. Now, according to eyewitnesses, American Special Forces engaged in a massive firefight with aliens who had established a base deep below the New Mexican desert. Now, these revelations were made by a civil engineer whose name is Phil Schneider, who worked on secret military projects deep underground in Dulce, New Mexico. Now, Mr. Schneider, whose dad, Philip, was involved with the development of the early atomic bomb, said he was made to sign official secret documents that swore him to secrecy, but he later went on to reveal the American military was working with an alien race of Greys building joint subterranean bases. Now, these Grey aliens, who some refer to Zeta Reticulians, the Roswell Greys, they have been what we call the accepted face of aliens on Earth. Almost half of all alien sightings claimed in the USA refer to this type of gray alien. And that type of gray alien is the big head, big almond-shaped, black eyes, very thin. The alien gray is also linked directly to the Roswell incident, in which a UFO containing live aliens was allegedly seized by the military at Roswell. It's also in New Mexico. But Mr. Snyder's story took a jaw-dropping turn when he described on one occasion when things turned nasty and resulted in what has become known in the UFO circles as the Dulce Battle. Now, Dulce Battle expert, I didn't realize there was such a thing, but apparently there's a Dulce Battle expert. His name is Anthony Sanchez. He has authored a book called The UFO Highway, and he is a founder of the Umbra Research Center. It is a group dedicated to understanding the hidden aspects and mystery behind the UFO ET phenomenon. He said, in 1979, they, and I can only assume they is the American military, maybe the Special Forces, I don't know who it was, but they sunk a shaft, and during some mining exploration, they wanted to see if they could build a similar subterranean base. During that shaft sinking, they discovered a very old cavern system where they found Greys had developed their own extraterrestrial base. Now, Schneider said he was confronted by alien Greys and was forced to draw his sidearm and fire. He said he had killed two before being hit with some type of plasma weapon. He escaped, and the military immediately called in special forces. Now, Mr. Sanchez added that military units, SEALs, and Delta Forces went down there and engaged in a firefight with these tall Greys. Now, I don't know, I'm pretty adept and pretty knowledgeable about UFOs, but I do know there are tall Greys, so apparently the tall Greys are the leaders of the Grey. So apparently the SEALs that were fighting were encountering the leaders of the Grey. Mr. Sanchez said, in all, 60 military personnel and scientists were killed. Now, during the altercation, Mr. Schneider was hit with some sort of plasma weapon, which sheared off a portion of his hand. But he added that the engineer escaped with data and information which would subsequently form the basis of stealth cloaking technology. Unfortunately, the story does not have a fairy tale ending. In 1996, Mr. Schneider was found strangled in his home in Arizona. Obviously, he knew Hillary Clinton. Oh, come on now. Really? You're going to boo me on that one? Whatever. All right. Maybe he didn't know Hillary Clinton, okay? But obviously, it was suspicious because he was strangled. He had this cloaking technology. I don't know. Listen, I have gone back and forth on this encounter so many times I've lost count. I heard about this early in my career of ufology. I had a ufologist in, I believe it was Illinois, tell me about this and how he had firsthand account from a soldier that had been there and was fighting these Greys, and they had these superior weapons, but our military had superior numbers and we fought them back, and we had gained control of that base, and what we found were these humans, and they were abducted, and they were put in these vats of fluid that they had no idea what was in that fluid. It was keeping them alive for research. And then they also went into this other part that they found these alien-human hybrids, and I don't know what to believe, because I've also heard stories that this base in Dulce, this underground base, was an alien-human interaction. It was a cooperative base, and our government was letting them abduct people. It was letting them clone alien-human hybrids. You don't know what to believe. Do I believe the aliens are out there? Absolutely, I believe the aliens are out there. Just last night, I'm sitting out by the pool with the wife. It was our anniversary. Happy anniversary, honey. Also, just a jump-off point real quick. Tomorrow, I'm recording this on Saturday. Tomorrow is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers out there. But I was sitting out, and we were just gazing at the stars. And she says, gazing at the stars, I'm sky-watching, looking for UFOs. And I see these two points of light in the sky, and I'm thinking they're stars. And as I'm looking at them, she apparently wasn't, of course, I see them both shoot up into the sky and vanish. And I'm like, oh my gosh, did you see that? And she's like, what? I'm like, those two, what I thought were stars, were not stars. They shot up into the sky. They were sitting there hovering, and all of a sudden, boom, they're up in the sky. And she's like, oh, whatever. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit, and she says, listen, if you saw a UFO, you would have been a lot more excited. And my response is, why? I've seen so many UFOs that it's almost like seeing a deer crossing the road. Oh, that's cool, but I've seen it before. It's not the excitement. When I saw my first UFO, oh my God, I was literally pissing myself. I was so excited. But after you've seen so many, it kind of becomes second nature. It kind of becomes, oh, hey, look. Literally, honestly, if you go outside on a clear night and just sit and gaze up at the sky, guaranteed you will see something that you cannot identify. It may or may not be extraterrestrial, interdimensional, sub-ocean. It may not be that. But you will see something that you cannot identify. As for me, I have seen numerous, multiple UFOs, things that I cannot identify. So the excitement is kind of curtailed a little bit because there's nothing like seeing your first UFO and going, oh my God, no way. I've been there. I've been seeing my first UFO. After you've seen more than 36 UFOs, something you can't explain, you're like, that was cool. What the hell was that? But you're able to control it because at that point, you know there's something else out there. Now we have to determine what is out there. Look up, and I'm not going to ask you to decide just from what this little article I read to decide, do you think the Dulce battle took place? I want you to do some research. Look it up. Look at eyewitness accounts and look at the rebuttals against that and tell me if you think that it actually took place. Because honestly, I really don't know. I don't know what could have happened during that battle or no battle. Was it a work of fiction? It's a great Hollywood movie. I can't believe it hasn't been made into a movie yet. But it seems that the most far-fetched stories, the most far-fetched conspiracy theories are the ones that are actually true. Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Listen, contact me if you have any questions, if you have any insights. If you have, listen, the promo at the beginning of the show, I love doing that. Let's get more of that. Let's put more of your podcasts on my show. Let's put more of anything you do. If you have a book, if you have a promotion, if you have an event, if you have anything you want to promote, I'm more than willing to promote it. I'm here for every one of my listeners. But you have to contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. To end the show, for those of you who think that there is a racial profiling system, and I'm sure there is, don't get me wrong, but there's one thing that I want you to remember before you start arguing with me about how oppressed you are. And that is this.
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
Boy, if that doesn't give me hate mail, I don't know what will. So join me next week as I relate to you all the hate mail I'm going to get from that last comment. Thank you for joining me this week. My name is Tom Velasquez. I have enjoyed doing this show and I enjoy doing it for you. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I ask you during this whole week to sit back, relax, open that mind, because this world is a strange place. There are strange and crazy things going on in this world today. But The Paranormal Patriot will try and make sense of what you are hearing and try to cut through all the crap. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I have been your host. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be back next week. Thank you for listening. Until next week, peace!